اللهم لك الحمد لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك احمدك ربي واستعينك واستهديك واستلهمك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى واشهد ان لا اله الا انت الواحد الاحد والفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد واشهد ان سيدنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وخاتم انبيائه وخيرة خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم عليه اللهم صل عليه صلاة دائمة الى يوم الدين وصل على اله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم الى يوم الدين اللهم اجعلنا منهم اما بعد عباد الله اوصيكم ونفسي اولا بتقوى الله اتقوا الله سبحانه وتعالى واتبعوا اوامره واجتنبوا نواهيه لعلكم تفلحون يقول سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد فاستجاب لهم ربهم اني لا اضيع اجر عامل منكم من ذكر او انثى بعضكم من بعض صدق الله وصدق رسول الله الله has indeed spoken the truth and the messenger of mercy has conveyed what was revealed to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accurately and precisely as it was dictated to him through the medium of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. All praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, sustainer and cherisher of the worlds. All praises be to him who describes himself above all as the all-compassionate, all-merciful. So let us invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us celebrate his name, meditate upon him by invoking this beautiful attribute and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us also make sure that as we do that, we also imbibe that mercy aspect, which is the core essence, quintessential essence of Islam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ We have sent thee solely as a mercy for all of the creation. So let us meditate upon the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and let us manifest this quality in our interactions with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, starting with our own family and neighbors and fellow Muslims and fellow human beings and the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread across the land and the sea. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all instruments of mercy in this world where there is so much hatred, so much cruelty, so much animosity. So let us be instruments who will turn the tide, reconcile, bring peace and love among human beings. And the world needs this message to hear this message. And today, inshallah, I'm going to reflect on the theme of this week. On day before yesterday, or 8th of March, they celebrated the International Women's Day. Of course, in Islam, we are instructed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to speak to the issue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his message was relevant. How do we make the message relevant? By addressing issues that are relevant to human beings in the precise context and the milieu that you are living in. And today, the issue of the status of women, the empowerment of women, how Islam treats women, how Islam teaches us to empower our sisters, our mothers, sisters and wives and daughters. This should be the message that we should be delivering from the pulpit, inshallah. So I'm going to take this time. The time is brief, but I'm going to reflect some of the important lessons that we can draw from the life of the great messenger of mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his messenger as a messenger of mercy. All of the historians, Muslim and non-Muslim, vouch for the fact there is no leader in the world who was successful what he set out to accomplish, the dream and the mission that he had set out, and accomplish it like a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the unanimous verdict of the world historians. He was the most successful man. He was even more successful than Jesus, peace be upon him, or Moses, peace be upon him, them all. Every single leader and prophet who came into this world, we have no comparison with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set out to accomplish something, and before he died, he did that. Now, many of us know what he did with men and women, young people, how he empowered them. But of course, the story is not finished unless we know how empowered women. One great intellectual said, the only human being only can succeed if they empower women. Because you know why? The leaders who empower women are the most successful to accomplish their goals. Because women, when they embrace an idea or a belief system, they are wholly committed to it, and they are committed to do that, fulfill that, no matter what sacrifice they have to undergo. And this is the history of Prophet's empowerment of women. But in order to place Islam in the context, we have to understand the time before Islam. We call it Jahiliyyah, ignorance. And even some of the great authors in comparative religion, like Karen Armstrong, she comes to the study of Islam after having studied the great world religions, after writing about Buddha and others, great reformers. She comes to the study of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she says, Prophet Muhammad is the prophet for our times. Why? Because one of the things is, he empowered women. Women before Islam, what was the discussion going on in Christian, medieval Christianity? What was the discussion going on in India? What was even the teaching of the greatest reformer in India, Buddha, about women? We don't have time to go into that, but briefly, in the medieval Christianity, the great debate was going on whether women have souls or not. They were considered the source of temptation. And the Bible has the story of the creation, that it was Eve who was responsible for seducing Adam and tempting him to eat of the forbidden fruit, and because of that, she is cursed, inflicted with 9 curses. I don't have time to list that, but anyway, you can see how the medieval Christianity look at woman, and that is why the unanimous consensus among those who dedicate to spiritual work is, you need to keep away from women. No association with women will merit you a place, you know, closer to God Almighty. You cannot realize spiritual excellence and endowment unless you distance yourself from women. Of course, this idea was also deep rooted in Hindu monasticism. Actually, the historians say, who compare the histories of Christianity and Hinduism, they say some of these ideas were kept into Christianity from the pagan, from the idolatrous societies. So you have the laws of Manu, which describe women in the worst. Woman cannot read the scripture. Her husband has to teach it to her. She cannot touch it. Father has to teach it. Brother has to teach it. Husband has to teach it. This is the laws of Manu, brothers. And of course, there comes Buddha, the greatest reformer. There is no question that he was a reformer. But having said that, there are so many myths associated, legends associated, excellent teachings in Buddhism. I am not refuting that. Of course, these teachings are the essential core of our religions. But having said that, it is said about Buddha, when his wife wanted to join that monastery, he refused. Because his whole concept was, woman in order to save herself has to be reborn as a man. And there comes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking the real, bringing back the essential purity of the divine messages revealed to each and every prophet. What is that? خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. God created all of us, human beings, male and female, from a single soul. So there is no concept, the whole concept of male superior to female is out of the window. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَىٰ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever works good deed, good works, does good works, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, while committed to doing, to being excellent, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً, we shall give him a good life, happy life, save him. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيُّ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَىٰ بَعْضُكُمْ مِّن بَعْضٍ. That God says, God responded to the issue in the minds of people about whether men and women, they are rewarded or punished differently. God says, I will not let go in waste the work of anyone, whether male or female. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ, you proceed from one another. So, of course, throughout the Quran, but in order, so you have this worldview of Tawheed in Islam, that God, the Creator, one, and He is the center of all things, and then male and female, created from a single essence. And of course, Prophet had to make drastic reform to the concepts and practices prevailing in Arabia at the time, and they really were inflicted barbarity on women. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنثَىٰ ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. When this father is told that you have been given a gift of a female child, he frowns, he becomes depressed, and يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. He want to hide himself, withdraw from the society because of shame, because female child is a shame. And of course, this concept is still prevailing in Arabia. How many people go to the hospital, to the doctors? If they know that it is a female child, they want to abort that child. And of course, this crime is going on. Still, in spite of the fact, people have become secularized, and these kinds of myths and legends, people are reformers of call to reform them, and yet there is thousands and thousands of children are, female children are killed or aborted before they come into this world. There comes Islam, Prophet of Islam. If you read the Quran carefully, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the gifts, His gifts to human beings, to the men and mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions female children first. يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. He gives the gift of female children to give priority. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said clearly, if I were allowed to discriminate, I would favor women, girls, over boys. And that is why, you know what, in many, many cases in Islam, Islam takes a very compassionate side, favoring the man. I did receive a question, how come so much favoritism shown to women in Islam? Really, if you analyze, you know why? This is the reform, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want to be with the side, on the side of the oppressed and the weak. This is the liberation theology of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stood by the weak and the vulnerable. Ubughuni fi du'afaikum. Seek me among the weak and the vulnerable among you. So today it is time for Muslims to come and stand on the side of the women, so that to help them restore the dignity and the place of honor that Islam has bestowed on them. Look at the struggle of Islam. Many people, our theologians and jurists, question whether women can travel. And of course, many of us have this concept that women should be let them be sticking to the inner sanctum of their house. They should not come out. They should not see the sun, breathe air, fresh air. It's better for them to cover themselves, because al-mar'atu awra, sawtul mar'ati awra. Even the voice of woman is awra. Let her keep quiet. Of course, there is no room for this. In the Quran, قَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah has heard her who argues with you, who debates with you in the case involving her husband. And of course, Quran is full of women speaking. Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because there was so much traffic going on in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, men and women going, and some of them very, very uncivilized. And yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say to the wives of the Prophet, don't speak to men. فَلَا يَخْلَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. They can talk, but فَلَا يَخْلَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ. Let them not use very, very soft language. Because فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضًا. In order so that the person who is sick in heart does not harbor lustful thoughts. That's why it was not the understanding of any of the wives of the Prophet or any of the Sahabiyat that they should be kept out of the participation in the social life, in the political life, in the community life of this Ummah. In fact, they were the vanguard of Islam. They were the forerunners. The first person to die for the cause of Islam was none other than Sumayya, the mother of Ammar ibn Yasir, who was the first Muslimah to embrace Islam, to support Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none other than Khadija, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was the one who told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because she knew him. She knew his character. She said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will never forsake a man like you, because you are trustworthy. You are the refuge of the weak and the vulnerable. You take care of the destitute and the poor. How can God forsake a man like you? And she is the one who supports Rasulullah, placing all of her wealth at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Quraysh said, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the poorest man in Makkah, she heard that. She came out to the Nadi of Quraysh around the Haram. She said, let everyone hear loud and clear, all of my wealth is given to Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before that they say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the poorest man, but his wife is the richest woman in Makkah. And now they say, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the richest man. Why did she do that? Because she was so committed to to sacrifice anything for the cause of the deen, the religion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preaching. Brothers and sisters, who are the narrators of Islamic history? Many people don't understand this. How do we know the story of the process of revelation in Islam? It's only through Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah. How do we know the story of the hijrah to Abyssinia? Who told us this story? Was it men or women? It was none other than Umm Salama radiallahu anha. So women were not silent, sitting at home. They were everywhere. They were in the masjid. They were there questioning Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. They were in the marketplace. The superintendent of market in Medina was none other than a woman called Ash-Shifa. She would go around with a stick enforcing the Islamic ethics so that people weigh and give proper measurement, weighing and measurement. So, how do we reach this stage? And women were there. Look at the many women, hundreds of them. Look at Sumayya, look at Ummu Atiyya, look at Nusayba, look at Ummu Salama, look at Aisha radiallahu anha. Coming to Aisha radiallahu anha, she came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a tender young age, but by the time the Prophet died, she became the greatest scholar. Urwa, Qasim and others who graduated, there are more than 200 scholars who studied from Aisha radiallahu anha. And all of the seven foremost jurists in Medina, their intellectual lineage goes back to Aisha radiallahu anha. And Urwa and Al-Qasim, two of the greatest, of course there is Amra, and there were so many women also who became scholars, dedicating, studying at the feet of Aisha radiallahu anha. And we have the statement that Aisha radiallahu anha used to give independent ruling in the reign of Abu Bakr Siddiq, her father, during the reign of Umar ibn Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, and of course Ali ibn Abi Talib, until she died. And of course Aisha radiallahu anha commanded the army, brothers. Aisha spoke. She was one of the best speakers. Who she was speaking to? Just ladies? She was addressing men and women. And they unanimously said there are a number of people testifying that they never heard a speaker more articulate than Aisha radiallahu anha after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So brothers and sisters, it is time for us to empower women in the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, that is why Islamic history has to be rewritten. Even one of the great Orientalists, he is a pillar of Orientalism. When I was studying in McGill University, in my comprehensive exam for PhD, I was questioned about Golzihar and Shah. I would refer to them as a Shaykhan of Orientalism. This Shaykh of Orientalism admitted some of the unique things about Islam. He said when he was teaching in the European universities, he could not find a single woman professor, female professor. But he was astonished, shocked to hear, to study the lives of more than 2,500 scholars of hadith. This is the tradition of Islam. This is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam empowered men and women. And it is time for us to allow our sisters to come to the front. And of course, and by saying that, I am not saying we embrace the permissive, this rivalry, this secular ideological rivalry between men and women, because in Islam men and women are complementary, because it's the concept of Tawheed. Under this oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is oneness of humanity, oneness of man and woman. They complement each other. The best way to describe is the concept of yin and yang. That means they are two sides. Shaqaiqu, al-rijalu shaqaiqu al-nisa. Two sides. of the same coin. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to bring back to the original Christian Islamic concept, and let us embrace it, practice it, and pass it on to the new generation so that Islam can liberate us. Today we need to liberate the Muslim societies from this misogyny, hatred of women, and of course all kinds of customs and practices which is pull us back, and the society, all the other communities are laughing at us. The trouble is not with Islam, the trouble with the destructive customs in the name of Islam. It's time to replace them with the original concept of the empowerment of women as practiced and implemented by the Messenger of Mercy. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. There are a number of brothers and sisters who are really sick and suffering, and let us invoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down His healing. I'm not mentioning names, but I have their names in my mind, in my heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down His mercy, shifa on them, heal them and cure them. Allahumma rabban nas, adhi bil bas, ishfi anta shafi, la shifa illa shifa'uk, shifa'an la yugadiru saqma. Allahumma shfihim wa'afihim, Allahumma shfihim wa'afihim, Allahumma shfihim wa'afihim. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا دينا الا قضيته ولا مريضا الا شفيته ولا ميتا الا رحمته ولا حاجه ترضيك الا قضيتها يا ارحم الراحمين. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اقم الصلاه.